Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and even foes in the family, and to the standing between the living and the dead service, / the rescue of the perishing and care for the dying service. This is Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International, with the Scripture and the Sense podcast, episode number 910, where I simply read the Word of God and give the sense of it based on an authoritative commentary source, such as the Bible Knowledge Commentary and or the Matthew Henry Commentary or some other reputable commentary or study Bible. This podcast is based upon Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8, where it says, Ezra and the Levites read in the book in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. The aim, therefore, of this podcast is that through the simple reading of the Word of God, the Holy Bible, and the giving of the sense of it, it is my humble prayer that the church would be revived and that the world would be awakened and saved from the wrath of God to come and saved from the eternal burning hell by believing what Jesus Christ preached first and best, the good news, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he said, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so, dear friend, the question is, have you believed the good news? Have you believed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ as and trusted him as your Savior? Do you know Jesus Christ in the free pardon of your sins for your soul's salvation? If you do not, first, please understand and accept the fact that you are a sinner, as I am a sinner, and so is the Pope, so is the Dalai Lama, and so is even Joel Osteen, pastor of the largest church in America, and a very nice man. But he will tell you that he's a sinner and deserves to go to hell. And you need to understand that you have broken God's law, his laws, his commandments. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not only have we sinned, but we have come short of his glory. We have all failed God and have disobeyed his commandments, and so therefore we deserve to go to that awful place, the regions of darkness and torment and fire and pain called hell. There's always a punishment for sin, my dear friend, not only in the life to come, but even in this life. I have marveled, and so have you, at how the court system kept rolling on during the plague, the coronavirus plague. They may have to do it behind glass. They may have to distance from one another. But when you have a day in court in the American system is almost like the postman. Rain, sleet, or snow, the mail's got to go. And you got to go to the courthouse. It doesn't matter. They're going to find a way. If they have to do it remotely with the judge in one place and you in another place, justice must be done. Even in this life, a man was just pardoned by an Oklahoma governor. His sentence was changed from death row in the electric chair, however they do that up there, to life in prison. He was going to die for the crime that the state believes he committed. In this life, multiple states have the authority. Human beings, as sinful as we all are, have the authority to kill another person if he kills somebody else. In this life, that's hell. That's a serious judgment. Death is a judgment, by the way, as you will see momentarily. See, so you must understand that sins and crimes must be punished. Even in this sin-cursed world in which we live, when the judge is a sinner, the prosecutor is a sinner, the defense lawyer, is a sinner. God has given us the authority to take somebody out if they kill somebody else. Second, I want you to notice with me and accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty for sin. There is a punishment for sin, which I'm emphasizing here today. Across the board, in your home, there should be punishment for sin and evil. I thank God for the young man who didn't have a father, who said he got saved and he said that he was going to be a great father because he did not have a father. And he made it very clear in his house that punishment will be meted out and has been. His son went out, and this is a Christian home. Son went out and started using marijuana and vaping and taking money from the parents to do so, and he hid it, and then he finally came to himself, and he was so guilty and felt so bad about it, he finally said, Daddy, look here, I've been doing this evil at 16 years old, and I know I'm a believer in Christ, and I can't take the guilt. He went to his father and apologized, and then the father took it to the mother, and it was one painful night. Both parents could not believe that their Christian son would do such a thing. But he made it clear that even though his son apologized and brought it up himself, he got chastised for it, punished severely, corporally as well as other punishments. That's in his home. And in any good home, you're going to have that. It doesn't matter. And in our society is that way. In the church, it is that way. It's called church discipline. The church has the authority from Jesus. If someone keeps some mess up in the church, they can be put out of the church. We call it churched, excommunicated, the Catholics call it. The wages of sin is death. And as I have been telling you for many days now, God has told me to tell you, and I'm going to keep on telling you until he tells me to stop. If God will allow you to die and cease to exist from this earth, then God will allow you to burn in hell throughout eternity. Mark it down. If you believe that you're going to die like the Bible says and like you have seen other people die, then you better believe everything else God said about the afterlife. That you will spend eternity in hell if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. in this life. You can't do it in that life. It's too late. There's no vestibule to heaven where you can sit and wait. There's no holding cell. There's no limbo. There's no purgatory. All that was made up by greedy priests and popes to make money off of the people. And I believe that's the reason why the bubonic plague just came and wiped out the church, the Catholic Church, and everybody else. Because they are using the church to make money, lying, made up, telling people you can pray your child out of hell. He's in purgatory. They made up a place called purgatory. There's no such thing. Jesus Christ never preached about purgatory, and you can get prayed out of purgatory into hell, into heaven. There's no such thing. There's no limbo. There's no in-between. It's heaven or hell. That's all Jesus Christ talked about, and that's who you better listen to. The wages of sin is death. And then after death, the judgment, the Bible says, after death, in fact, immediately after death, according to Luke 16, you will go to hell. As soon as you die, you will lift up your eyes in the torments of hell. In fact, you will be in hell 5 to 7, 8 days before the funeral even takes place. No matter what the lying preacher or pastor says about you in the pulpit, how good you were, how much money you gave, and so forth, and how that you were a faithful church member, you will be in hell if you have never truly believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you believed in your church membership, if you believed in your paying your bills on time, if you believed in doing your good works and getting baptized at the age of 12, all of that will not get you into heaven. It will get you into hell. There are many church members and pew warmers in hell today. Has nothing to do with you speaking in tongues, singing in the choir, shouting and jumping and running. You're going to do more than that in hell. And that's a fact. None of that means anything. It's whether or not you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and repent of your sins. That leads me to my third point. Accept the fact, dear friend, that you're on the road to hell right now. If you cannot remember a time that you have truly believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, mock. Same situation. But if you have not, if you cannot remember a time you trusted in Jesus Christ, you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Mark, same thing. Same thing in the back. Then you're not saved, because you cannot tell me you met Jesus Christ and you can't remember him. I refuse to believe that. He is the greatest individual in the history of the world. And you will remember meeting Jesus Christ. Do you remember the day you met your husband? Do you remember the day you met your wife? Do you remember the day you graduated? Do you remember the day you bought your first house? If you can remember all of that, then you can remember meeting Jesus Christ. Do you know him as your Savior? hell is a very real place. Make sure you have trusted in Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ said in Mark chapter 9, verses 43 through 48, these shocking words, "And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off." In other words, if your hand causes you to sin against God and sin against yourself, it is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. If thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell. You say, "Preacher, you can't scare me about here." I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just telling you what Jesus Christ said. If that doesn't scare you, there's something wrong somewhere. You'll be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. My, my, my. I urge you, dear friends, I lovingly urge you to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Before it is eternally too late. Before you close your eyes in death and then wake up in hell. Hell is a very real place. Our sins are so grievous and so bad, there's no other place for you but the place that was created for the devil and his angels. Hell was not created for us. However, if we act like the devil, look like the devil, talk like the devil, walk like the devil in this life, we will go to hell with the devil, and deservedly so. Right now, hell has no room for you. But the Bible tells us in Isaiah that hell will expand itself to fit you in that awful place. Hell is bad news. Hell is sad news. But I do have some good news for you. You do not have to go to hell to spend eternity in suffering and pain. You can be saved from hell and saved to heaven, which you do not deserve, by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ said it best. Jesus Christ said it first. The most important words in the history of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Believe in Jesus Christ. Do what Jesus Christ commanded you. Do what Jesus Christ said to you. For God so loved the world, that includes you, no matter how filthy and unclean and ungodly you are, and we all are. We've committed such sins as lying, dishonesty, deceit, living a lie, whoredom and whoremongering, fornicating and adultery, stealing and robbing our own parents, lusting after people and things, coveting after people and things, dishonoring and disobeying our parents, even hating our parents. and dishonoring and disobeying God and taking his name in vain. And on we can go with the sins that we all have committed. Yes, even in our white shirts or blue shirts, makes no difference. Beautiful, pretty, handsome, gifted, talented, smart, educated, White House, Congress, the Senate, poor, in the projects, and the outhouse, makes no difference. We all are in the same sin boat on our way fast. Have you noticed how fast the sin boat is going to hell? It's going very fast, living in the fast lane. That's what many of us are doing, living in the fast lane. Even during the plague, we have no fear of God before our eyes and going to hell fast. Don't spend eternity in hell. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou you shalt be saved. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose on the third day by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart. Call on his name to save your soul, and he will. For Romans 10:9 and Romans 10:13 put it this way. Puts it this way, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou, you, shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved from the eternal burning hell, and saved to heaven, to be with God in Jesus Christ. This is the good news, my beloved. It is the greatest story ever told. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin woman named Mary. No man had sex with her before he was born. Believe it, because it is true. It was predicted and it was done. So therefore, Jesus Christ, the God-man, for he was born of God, had pure and holy blood. He never committed a sin in word, thought, and deed, even though he was tempted as all men are. And then because of the love of God and the love he has in his heart, he voluntarily suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins and mine. The sins I just mentioned and all of the other nasty. And let me just make it clear to you. The nasty, filthy sins that we all have committed, even in the church. You know what I'm talking about. Nasty, filthy, ungodly sins in God's sight. Jesus Christ, as John the Baptist called him, the Lamb of God. I call him the sacrificial Passover Lamb of God, for who died for the sins of all people, the Jews and the Gentiles. Red, yellow, black, and white were all precious in his sight. You say, preacher, how could we be so precious in his sight and we have sinned against him? You have to ask Jesus that. You have to ask God that. That's beyond me. That's above my pay grade, if you will. Because I marvel at it. I marvel at God's grace since I've been saved. You understand? So, believe. Just simply believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if God can save me, God can save you. I was one of the most wicked individuals in the history of the world. I hated church. I hated my dad, who was a preacher. I despised church people so much. And I cursed and swore when my friends told me that you're going to be a preacher like your dad. I cursed and swore and said I would never be a preacher like my dad. With a straight face, I was not playing. That's a fact. Got angry at one of my girlfriends when she suggested, we were sitting on the porch looking at the sunset, she suggested, you're going to be a preacher like your father. I got so angry with her for that. If God can save me and then call me to do something I swore and cursed I would never do, then he can save you. Because I was in the fast lane for real, and I was the ringleader going to hell fast and didn't even know it. And you're going to hell fast today. Now you know it. And nobody even told me back then that I was going to hell. If they had told me I was going to hell, I probably would have gotten saved back then and saved myself and others a whole lot of trouble. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll save these people, open their blinded eyes, unstop their deaf ears, and save their souls. For you said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And by the way, people, I'm not preaching every day for nothing. I truly believe that you're on your way to hell. And I want to encourage all of you people who have people in the hospital due to the coronavirus, you tell the nurse to get the iPad and the iPhone or whatever plugged into the ears. Even if the people can't hear you, they can hear me. They're not dead yet. If they're not dead yet, plug up something in the person's ear so they can hear the gospel. You say, can they get saved in that coma that they're in? Yes, they could. Yes, they can. Because you don't need to move your mouth to pray. You can just pray right on the inside of yourself, see. You do your part. And by the grace of God, I'm going to do mine. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day by the power of God. That is the gospel. That is the good news. Believe it, as Jesus Christ has strongly stated to you. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved today. If you're willing to get saved today, by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, let's pray what is called the sinner's prayer. And let's mean it from our hearts when we pray. For this is the day and time where you don't play, you pray. And you get sincere about it real quick. Follow me in prayer. Repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart if you're believing in your heart in Jesus Christ to get your soul saved from hell. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I admit and I acknowledge that I am a sinner. And that I have committed gross sins against you. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, Lord Jesus Christ, to please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul. Because I believe in you as you told me to do. Please fill me now with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of all of my sins. Help me to turn from my evil lifestyle and to follow you, Lord Jesus Christ, in the new life. For it is in your name I do pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life. Jesus Christ said the most important thing to mankind in the history of the world. And when you trust Jesus Christ as Savior based upon that most important thing that he said, then you are doing the most important thing in your life that you could ever do. And that's a fact. And so, dear friend, for more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com or GospelLightHouseOfPrayer.com and read my book titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com or whatever email is on your platform and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you to help you grow in the faith and to give you the next steps that you need to take. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Now, dear friends, we're going to resume our service already in progress, and I'm going to, at this time, teach you the Word of God. You just got saved, and now you're going to go and you're going to have your first Bible lesson. Today, beloved, we're reading and studying Zechariah chapter 12, verse 11. In that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hadad-Jerman in the valley of Megiddon. Ladies and gentlemen, I just read in your hearing Zechariah chapter 12, verse 11. Now here is the sense of it. Here is the understanding of it. Here is the comprehension of it with the help of the Holy Ghost. And so let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for your holy word. And Lord, I do pray. Thank you, Lord, for saving those who are lost. Give all of us who are saved the understanding of this pivotal passage by the power of your Holy Ghost, the unction and the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Give us the comprehension of it and the understanding of it. And then, Lord, help us to apply it to our lives. Fit us for your use, to teach it to others, and to proclaim your holy gospel from your holy word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. The Bible Knowledge Commentary says, regarding this interesting and what some would say difficult passage, the future mourning of Israel over her Messiah is likened in the second place to the weeping on the day when godly King Josiah, the last hope of the fading Judean nation, was slain by Pharaoh Necho II at Hadad-Rimon, traditionally identified as a village near Jezreel in the plain of Megiddo. Thus the greatness of the morning at this final outpouring of the Holy Spirit can be compared only to the weeping of a most extreme individual and to corporate catastrophes of the nation. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for teaching us your holy word in detail, difficult passages, things that we would not know without somebody digging deep and studying and bringing it out to help us to understand it better. Thank you, Lord, for your teachers that you have gifted, who have the shovel and the mind, the patience, and the ability to dig down deep and get to the root of what the passage means. Thank you for, most of all, your Holy Spirit that empowers them to do that and gives it to us. We give you the glory, the praise, and the honor for knowledge, but help us not to get puffed up, but to be humble and to use it to help other saints and to help other sinners. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen.